Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
You may not like it, but we are in a battle. We're in a battle for our faith. We're in a battle for our belief. And we're in a battle over this Bible. And I'm gonna call this church out on the carpet tonight, literally out on the carpet tonight. A couple things. In fact, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I want to pray first, and then we'll get into some things God laid on my heart. We're going to be in Hebrews, last part of chapter 10 into chapter 11, what they call the Faith Hall of Fame. But we're going to take a little diversion before we get there tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight and pray for one another. Who needs prayed for tonight? Raise your hand. Amen. Okay. People fighting a battle. All right. And they're real and they're serious. So pray for one another. We've had people write to us, want us to pray for them. We're praying for you tonight. And had some people call me, had someone call me this afternoon, had a good visit with them. And so pray for them. All right. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for the work that you've given into our hands. And Lord, I can see, God, I can see just how serious this work is and the labor, Lord, that you've given us and the things that you've put into our hands. Lord, if I were to measure up my abilities and my ability to please and honor you in everything I do, God, I just admit, Lord, that I fall far short. Lord, I love these people, and I think they're good people, but Lord, we know them, and we know ourselves. And surely, Lord, you could have picked better people than us. But Lord, we don't mistrust your wisdom. You picked us, you picked this church, you picked these people. And Lord, just equip us. If you call us, Lord, then use us. And train us and equip us, dear God, for the work that you have given us. And Father, Lord, there's going to be many fights and many battles. Lord God, there's going to be heartaches. There's going to be tribulations and trials along with it. There's going to be things, God, happen that we don't understand. We're going to fail many times. And Lord, we ask you, God, Lord, that you would help us to see the victory and help us to see, dear God, that it's worth it. Heavenly Father, Lord, just guide us and put your spirit in us, God, and show us wisdom from your word tonight. Lord, our country, God, you know it better than we do. You know what's going on more than we do. But Lord, from what we know and what we see, God, it's a very dangerous time we live in. And I pray, dear God, Lord, you called us and you chose us to live in this time. And so, Lord, you're going to help us. You're going to be with us. You're never going to leave us nor forsake us. We'll stay true to this book. We love you, God. We honor you. We praise you and worship you. And, Lord, this word, this living word that we have in our hands is your representation here on this earth. It is everything that you are. It says everything that you say. It is your mind. It is your heart. It is your will. And Lord, it is our salvation. Lord, lead us with it and guide us with it. Help us, dear God, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Take a Bible very quickly and turn to 1 Samuel 13. I'm just going to touch on this just for a few minutes tonight because it's very, very extremely relevant to the days that we're living in right now. Practically everybody, a lot of you outside the church, you ought to be here Sunday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon before church. You ought to just, in fact, I've thought about putting a camera in my office and we'll just have our own Bethel reality TV show of what goes, yeah, it's good stuff, isn't it? Of what goes on in my office before church. It's guys in my church and all the lady folks in Rose's office, guys in my office, and they're separated by a window. Every now and then we have to shut our door. That may be because we don't want to hear them, but it may be also we don't want them to hear us either. Amen? Okay, that's our little secret. But anyway, everybody that's come into my office tonight Been talking about what Obama did today. He surrounds himself with these innocent little, cute little children, parades them up on the stage and says, now I'm going to protect these children, so I'm going to take away all your guns. Now my children are protected already. I don't have to have this. It makes me sick. It makes me mad. And I put one of these on my blog last night, PastorMikeHogger.com. And since then, Ariel has sent me two more. There's sheriffs. So far, the ones I've seen have been in Oregon. I don't know what it is about Oregon, but there's sheriffs have written letters to Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. And these sheriffs, and I don't think you really understand where the true power of America lies. It's not in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
The true power and force of America is in the local communities and the county sheriff. He is the highest authority for us in Jefferson County as the county sheriff. Okay? And most people don't understand that. But these sheriffs have sent letters, and I'm sure there's going to be many more to follow. And I would to God that our sheriff would do the same thing. In fact, I think we ought to call him on it if he don't.
Amen.
But these sheriffs have written letters to the president, vice president, saying, this is our county. It does not belong to you. We've been here all of our lives. We've served these people. We know them. We're telling you right now that what you're doing is wrong. And we're telling you right now that if you sign any legislation or enact any presidential executive orders, we will not enforce them in our county. And if we see one of your guys in our county trying to enforce your rules behind our back, we will arrest them.
Amen.
Texas, and I know Utah and some other states are already crafting legislation that are saying that any federal agent who tries to enforce a federal gun regulation inside their state, they will be arrested and imprisoned for up to 2 years. Okay? Now, we're amen in this. This is not the America of Mayberry. Those days are gone. Okay? Those days are gone. And I don't know what the future holds, but I just know that the Bible is going to be our guide in everything. And I want you to look there in 1 Samuel 13. I just did a video on this, and if you have not seen this video, I don't know if this church has noticed or not. I don't try to push my videos on everybody here in this church. They're out there on the table. I figure if you want to see them, you see them. This one I'm going to encourage you to watch. Okay, this is the hottest thing right now. We've had, since I made that mention Sunday, Gary, that anybody who wants to go to these gun shows, give us a call. We'll send you videos. How many have you made so far?
Well, we shipped out about 1,300 today.
We've shipped out about 1,300 videos so far since Sunday.
There's four messages on the machine right now. I haven't listened to them yet.
Okay. We're serious about it. Southwest Radio, Brother Larry Spargimino called me yesterday. We did two radio interviews. They're going to be broadcast nationally on this particular video. The folks at Southwest Radio are for guns. They are against government infringement upon our rights, and they see it the way I see it. And by the way, folks at Southwest Radio are King James Bible people, okay? And there is a solid connection in there, okay? When you liberalize the Word of God, then you liberalize your standards for the country. And I want to show you this. This is a physical and a spiritual example as well. In 1 Samuel 13:19, now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. Saul was the governing body of Israel, but Saul was weak. He was very weak and he was very timid. And I'm telling you that the pressure for America to ban weapons is not coming necessarily from inside, it's coming from the United Nations. If we knew the secret meetings that were going on outside of the authority of this country, we'd be shocked. But I'm telling you, that's where it's coming from. Here, and how do I know this? Here's the guide right here. It was the Philistines who would not allow the Hebrews to have any blacksmiths. They would not allow them to make any spears or swords or anything like that. And if you had a hoe or a mattock or a plow that needed sharpened. You had to go to the Philistines for it. They would not allow you to do that. And their reason, they said their reasoning, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. And so it says in verse 22, so it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, there was found. Now I want you to look at what this Bible's telling you. Telling you that, number one, they had disarmed the citizens of the nation of Israel. Who is it that had weapons of the people of Israel? Who had the weapons? It was the government. It was the king and his son. They're the only ones who had the weapons. And on the day of battle shows up four chapters later in 1 Samuel 17. What are the Israelites and Saul doing when the Philistines show up and encamp in Shoco, which belongs to Judah? They're trespassing on Judah's property. The Philistines made it that far, and then they're camped up there, they're holed up there, and they send Goliath out there. And what is Saul, Jonathan, and the armies of Israel doing? Sitting on their hands. They're sitting on their hands, and they're going to let the Philistines come in and take over. Now, the physical part of this is our country, and I have a responsibility to ensure that Caleb, Matthew, Lindsay, Alicia, Courtney, and their children have the freedom that I'm enjoying right now. And if we don't stand up for it, our grandchildren and their children are going to lose out on the deal. We're selling out their inheritance. Just like Ahab offered Naboth, "Sell me your vineyard. I'll give you a better one." Naboth said, "I'm not doing it." So we're not going to sell out the inheritance that belongs to our children. And if you look in the Constitution, the preamble, they was guaranteeing the liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That means their offspring, those who came after them, posterior is what it was, what that was. Okay? That was the ones who came after them, behind them. They were guaranteeing liberty. We owe it to our children to, number one, not saddle them with an outrageous federal debt. Number two, we owe it to our children and our grandchildren to make sure that they're not enslaved by a government that wants to take away their rights and their freedoms. Because ultimately, our children will not be able to go into a church that preaches this Bible. You think they're not connected? I'm telling you they are. They're always connected. You show me any dictator that has taken over a country that established the Word of God as the supreme law of the land. Show it to me. What happened in Russia? When the communists took over Russia, what'd they do? They shut down all the churches. They became a godless state. The Russian Orthodox Church made a backdoor deal with the Communist Party to remain in existence. They just said, you know, you tell us what we can't do and we'll do it, but we're going to remain in effect. And that's exactly what happened. I'm not selling out. And I'm not selling this church out, and I'm not selling your kids out. Okay? And this is tough talk, and I don't like talking this way, and I don't like being this way. I'd like to think that, you know, 5 years from now, Gary's still going to go out and play golf and have a good time, and kids are going to go out fishing and playing baseball and things like that. I'd like to think that, but I can clearly see where this thing is headed. And it's a mistake to think that if we just let the government have all the weapons, then they will take care of us. That's never worked, it's never happened, and it's not right. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Amen. Now I'm going to give you the spiritual application of this. It is a mistake for anybody who sits in a church pew to let the pastors, the bishops, the Bible scholars, the theologians, the seminaries, and the denomination to tell them, don't worry about what's in the Bible. We'll tell you what it is. We'll protect you. We will tell you what doctrine to believe. We'll tell you what to do. It is a mistake. It is an absolute mistake. And we have been, I'll say we, I'll just put it on me. Since I came out with this video this week, attacking what I attacked, my name has been dragged through the mud. Okay? Literally. And it's still going on. And I only made part one this week of this particular video. I just recorded part two today. And I threw it up in third gear. Okay? And it's a battle over this Bible. And I mean to tell everybody in this church that the authorized Bible is the Word of God. It is the final authority on everything. And if it says that God's name is Jehovah, that's what God's name is. And if it says that my Savior's name is Jesus, then that's what His name is. And I'm not apologizing to anybody. And if you say, well, I think it was this way, I'm going to tell you right here, you're wrong.
Amen. That's right.
Okay? So what I want everybody looking out here, I want them to see this church stand and say, we stand for the Word of God, the King James Bible, and we're not backing down. And look back at the camera back there.
Amen.
Just like we did with the sodomite marriage thing. Okay? Okay? All right. Now you're making fools of yourselves. You sit down. All right. Now you're just camera hogs. back on me. Okay? And the second thing is, we believe in guns in this church.
Amen.
Okay? I don't know exactly how many are in this room right now, but I guarantee you there are. Now, I'm not going to ask everybody to stand up and show your weapons. Amen? Okay? I mean, right here. Here you go. Here's my weapon right here. Okay? But we are for guns. We are for personal safety, personal protection. We are for home defense. I'm not looking to shoot somebody because they got my parking spot at Walmart.
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. That's what everybody said. Well, you know, if they put them guns and everybody's, they're going to be shooting people over. It hasn't happened.
Yeah,
that's right.
Has not happened. By the way, this guy that went to that college yesterday in St. Louis and shot that gal and shot himself, illegal gun. He was a convicted felon and did not have a legal right to possess that firearm. They're not going to... They didn't stop him. There's already laws on the books against that guy owning a firearm, and it didn't work. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. Okay? We're going to send a message out of this church that we believe in our rights as gun owners in this country. We are guaranteed those rights, number one, by the Constitution. Number two, we're guaranteed those rights by the Word of God.
Amen.
And we're going to stand on this issue, and we're going to turn around the camera and say, this is what we believe in. Do not try to take our guns away.
Amen.
Okay? This is who we are. Thank you. Do what? All right. Now, I guarantee you, the Department of Homeland Insecurity, and I call them that because that's what they are. Department of Homeland Insecurity is kind of like that kid in school that every time he saw you and four other kids in a pile, he swore you were talking about him.
Yeah.
He was insecure. And the government, every time somebody sends an email, the government thinks that it's somebody trying to plot against the government. It's insecurity. Okay? I guarantee you that we're in a database.
Yeah,
I guarantee you we are. So you just might as well just get used to it. I've had people call me in the past and they would want to talk and they'd say, boy, I'm kind of afraid to say anything over the phone. And I'd tell them, you know what? I'm not. I said, I'm not. There's not anything that I've been scared of. We talk about stuff in my office and I don't know if you know this, but your cell phone's got a microphone on it that's on all the time. And can be activated. I don't know if you knew that or not. Okay? And I'm just saying, I'm not ashamed of what I believe and what I stand for. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not embarrassed of it. The shame of it is that I have to keep repeating myself over this issue. That's the shame of it. The shame of it is that we're trying to send a message. Hello, Lori. Lori, do you believe in guns?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Got that one. The shame of it is that we keep sending this message to the White House, and they're not listening.
That's right.
That's the shame of it right there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now let's change messages here. And amen on your brother. He's getting out, what, Saturday?
Moved to JMH Saturday.
All right.
Five days.
Praise the Lord for that. That guy was on death's door.
Amen.
So pray for him. Continue to pray for him. All right. Take your Bibles. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse, we're going to pick it up in verse 35 and move into, because verse 35 through is a prelude to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, everybody knows Hebrews chapter 11 is the what they call the Faith Hall of Fame and so on. And Hebrews chapter 11 is just full of beautiful, beautiful stories and beautiful doctrines and beautiful stories about people who were sinners. People who were sinners, yet we're going to see them in heaven. Why? One issue and one thing alone is why they're going to be in heaven. So we'll examine that. So he says in verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 10, this is the Apostle Paul, and he said, now look at this, he says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Now, who in here knows what confidence is? What does that mean? Huh? Assurance? Okay. It means you know that your deodorant's working so you can raise your hand with confidence and not have to worry about it. Remember that commercial? All right, anyway. Confidence, look at the word. The word con, what have I told you? The word con means with. Fide, F-I-D-E. You know what that is? Let me give you a word in English that has fide in it. Fidelity. Let me apply it to this, marital fidelity. What does that mean? Faithfulness in marriage. The word fide means faith. Trust is another word for it. There are synonyms for faith. Give me another synonym for faith. Trust, faith, belief. Give me another one. I don't know if there's any more than that. Assurance, confidence. These are all synonyms for faith. Faith means belief. And I asked the question, and we had it. We had everybody stand a while ago. By the way, Lord, you believe in guns? Amen. Yes. Believe in the King James Bible? Yes. Amen. Saved your brother. Amen. Okay. So anyway, we believe and we have confidence that every word in this Bible is right. Amen. God planted that in me. Somewhere around between 97 and 1998. God planted that in my heart. He planted a seed in my heart. Actually, he resurrected an old seed that had been there all that time. And God gave me confidence that when I was looking in this book, I was looking at the very Word of God. The veritas, veritable. It is absolute. It has been verified as the Word of God. And it does not have any mistakes in it. Does not have any errors in translation. Does not have any errors of omission or addition. It does not have contradictions between one text or another. It does not have anything like that. And that is exactly what I believe. Now, they want to call us a cult. They want to call me names and everything else. But I'm just here to tell you, I believe what this Bible tells me to believe. Amen. I didn't learn this doctrine in Bible college. I guarantee I didn't learn this doctrine in Bible college. I did not learn this at the hands of my professors. My professors were trying to tell me, Mike, you need to learn Greek, and then after that you need to learn Hebrew, because, I mean, who knows what this Bible really says, and all there's differences. I used to have one professor that he was good. His favorite expression was, as he was reading through Bibles in class, he would say, well, that looks like a textual variant to me. And he would just stop the class and stare at these books for, 5-10 minutes, something like that, going, I believe I see a textual variant. You know what he was doing, Brady? He was looking and to see that one Greek manuscript didn't say the same thing as another Greek manuscript. And he's going, aha, I see an error in the Bible and mistake, and we need to dig this out to find out what the true Word of God says. And that's what I heard. So I get to Bible college and I'm going, well, I don't guess the Bible's really right. I think it needs my help. That's what they taught me. And God restored a seed inside of me that just believed the Bible was the Word of God, and I've got confidence in it tonight. I'm not just telling you something to believe and hope it works out for you. Amen. And me standing on the sidelines going, I hope it works. Yeah. Can I tell you that I've heard enough from other people? I've had people that have called me and written to me and emailed me, and they told me that they were sick, and somebody was always telling them, well, you need to have more faith. If you just pronounce this and do this and say this, and then all that sickness will go away in Jesus' name. And I told one lady, I said, you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing somebody who's hoping that it works for you. They're using you as their test dummy. They're hoping that if you do and say the right things, then your cancer or whatever it is will go away, and they'll go, oh, wow, cool, it works. But if it fails and you die, they're going to stand back and they're going to castigate you, and they're going to say, well, They just didn't believe enough. They just didn't have enough faith. They didn't just do it right. That's their problem. Okay? But I'm not using anybody as a test dummy. I believe what I say. I believe what this Bible says. It is right 100% of the time. I am wrong 100% of the time. Unless I'm telling what's in this Bible. Let God be true and every man a liar. And I've got confidence. And he's telling you in verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence.
Amen.
Don't cast your confidence away. The greatest attack that the devil is going to use on you, he's going to try it through sin. But sin is not his area of what he's working against. He's not trying to make you a sinner. You already are a sinner. He will use sin. He will use circumstances. He will use acquaintances. He will use people around you. He will use peers. He will use social media. He will use the internet. He'll use your own insecurities to try to get you to believe that this Bible's not the Word of God, and so that you will cast it away. Because he cannot force you to abandon your Bible. He cannot take it away from you. But he can talk you into walking away from it yourself. He can talk you into casting it away. I believe that, and I believe this Bible teaches that. You go back to Mark chapter 4. What happens to the seed sown on stony ground? It does not take root. It does not produce fruit. It is cut down. What happens to the seed sown on thorny ground? The thorns grow up and choke out the seed. Chokes out the plant. You know what that thorns is? Lust. Cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches. See the word deceit injected in there? Paul said, sin deceived me. It's a deceiver. And the abundance of sin in a person's life will choke out the Word of God in their life. It absolutely will. And they will cast away their only means. The only means of salvation that you have is your confidence in the Word of God. That's all you've got. Since it's not based on any works that you do, I mean, you don't get saved by doing this. You don't get saved by me doing this. Okay? That's not what saves you. By the way, it disgusts me. Who knows who Leon Panetta is? Secretary of Defense. There's a deal up him on the internet of him going to see Pope. Pope. Oh, it's just the pinky ring. Oh, Pope, you're God. That's the elected official of the United States of America. You think the Vatican didn't have sway over this country? Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? By the way, the Vatican has been trying to get you to cast away your confidence for years. That's why the growth of the charismatic movement and all of the secondary cults that have risen out of this Bible are an attempt to get people away from this Word of God right here. They're getting one pastor after another to throw away their confidence in the Word of God. And any pastor or any ministry, alleged ministry, I don't care if it's a teacher, prophecy teacher, I don't care who it is, I don't care how big their name is. If they can look at you square in the eye through the television screen or the video or radio show, whatever it is, and tell you that you cannot have confidence in the King James Bible, they're a wolf in sheep's clothing, you walk away from them. Mark them, they're causing divisions among you. Okay? Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. You see it? Now there's the connection. What is it that is going to give you your reward? Confidence. Your faith and trust in the Word of God. So verse 36, for you have need of patience. Whew. Amen? That's the most obvious thing in the whole Bible right there. I don't need to read this in the original Greek. You have need of patience. Who in here has need of patience? Say amen. I try to practice patience. I mean, I really do. And I'm not boasting. It's hard. I try to practice patience. And while I'm practicing patience, I can just see the tension and the anger build up in me while I'm waiting on someone. Can I get an amen out of God's people? For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Okay? The will of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Okay? So now watch this. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And I want you to stop and think about this for a minute. What if the coming of the Lord is in our lifetime? What if it's in 5-6 months from now? Okay? What if that's the case? Stop for a minute. God picked you to see this. Because I'm of the belief that God's not done fulfilling His word. He's still got stuff to do here. And you know how we always looked at Moses and the Israelites and the Red Sea? Yeah, wouldn't that be neat to see the Red Sea? I'd like to be able to, wouldn't that be neat to look in there and see fish looking at you? Going. Wouldn't that be neat? And then to watch those waters come down over Pharaoh and his chariots? Wouldn't it be neat to wake up in the morning and have breakfast laying at your front door in the form of manna? Wouldn't it be neat? I submit to you that the generation who is alive at the coming of the Lord will see greater things than that. So look, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. So we do like John said, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, I always like to arm God's people. Okay? Always like to, the Bible says, arm yourselves likewise with this mind. Okay? I like to arm God's people and say, what if bad stuff happened before we're translated to heaven? What if? Are we ready? Because I grew up in this church and I heard preachers talk about, oh, it's going to be bad and there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places and famines and pestilences and oh, it's going to be bad. And I'm sitting here hoping then, as a child, as a young man, hoping that I get raptured before any bad stuff happens, because I don't like bad stuff. Hoping that. Of course, I was also hoping, too, that the Lord would wait till after I got married. And He did. Okay?
Yeah.
Amen. So, and He did. But what if He doesn't tarry? Or what? I can't say He doesn't tarry, because He's not going to tarry. What if we have to endure some bad stuff before the Lord's coming? Arm yourself that way. Arm yourself that way. Think about the choices that you're making now are boot camp.
Yeah.
The things that you're going through today are training ground. Because I think there's a battle coming.
Yeah.
A real one, a big one. Forces of heaven and hell. And what if God wants us to stand in that? Paul said to stand in the evil day.
Yeah.
You know what I think? I think Paul knew about an evil day coming.
Yeah.
Whereby we were going to have to do this. There's at least three sheriffs in counties in Oregon that are doing this.
Amen. Yes, they are.
There's some legislatures in Texas that are doing this. Okay? Pray that Texans aren't drunk enough or too drunk to fight the battle. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I like Texans, but there's a lot of partying going on down there, okay? They're doing this, and they're just doing this over physical stuff. We're talking about the souls of ourselves and our families. We're talking about the souls of people that we love and care about. We're talking about people, whether or not they're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. That is infinitely more important than whether or not we get to keep and hold a gun in our hand. Amen. It is.
Amen.
And I'll tell you that you learn how to stand this way. Standing for stuff down here is not an issue.
Amen.
Because devils are a lot more scary than men are. Okay? And Jesus told us about that. He said, don't worry about the guy who can take away your life.
Right.
You worry about the one who can kill both soul and body. Okay? So anyway, now look at verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Who in here can tell me what you think that means? It's a beautiful, beautiful meaning. You break down the words. Number one, the word just is applied to those who are justified. Justified. What does that mean? We've talked about this before. Those who are justified have been reckoned in God's courtroom already that they have no sin. You stop and think about this. You stop and ponder this one. Is that those who are just, those who are justified, have already been reckoned in God's courtroom that they are without sin.
Right.
Wow. Does that mean I get to go and do whatever I want to do now? Are you kidding me? You're not saved if you got that in mind.
Amen.
You're not. There's something wrong with your doctrine.
Amen.
Okay? Because this Bible didn't teach that. But we're justified by His grace through faith. And did you know Paul was actually quoting the Old Testament? The just shall live by... Did you know God, upon seeing the results of the law in the children of Israel and how it wasn't working, God never said, oops. He never did. God did not give the law to the Israelites and then realize it was a big mistake, that it probably wouldn't work. This was not some social experiment that he was trying out on the test dummies of Israel. It wasn't. God had always intended that if anybody was going to be in heaven and part of the bride of Christ, it was going to be done by faith. Well, Pastor, what about those in the Old Testament who kept the law? Number one, they were in the Old Testament. Number two, they didn't keep the law. You and I both know that.
Right.
Romans chapter 2 and 3 tells you that God concluded them all under sin. And he goes into great detail in those chapters telling you, okay, you're a teacher of the law, and yet you break the law. Those of you who say thou shalt not commit adultery, you steal. What's the difference? There is no difference.
Amen.
And so he's concluded all men under sin. The law was never intended to save one soul. Never intended. Not in the Old Testament, not now in the New Testament. That was never the intention. You know what Paul said about, you know what the law was for? Huh? Schoolmaster, to show us our sins. To show sin. To show what was already in us. Amen?
Amen.
What's in you?
No good thing.
Yeah. You want to read a list? There's several lists in the Bible.
Yeah.
Romans 1 list is your unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Have I covered practically everybody in this church already? And I'm not even done with the list. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Have I covered the rest of everybody else in this church? Here's another one. Turn to Galatians. I'll give you another one. Galatians chapter 4. No, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's got most of us right there. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. That's getting everybody else. Envyings. It's a sin to envy somebody. It's a work of the flesh. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There's 18 things here. That's 6 plus 6 plus 6, by the way. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I think that's interesting. 18. Okay? That's what's in us. That's us right here. The law, all it does is point that out to us. That's who we are. God came up with a rule and said, thou shalt not do this. And we go, ooh. Because isn't it interesting that as... And does not God know this? Does not God know that while he has Moses on Mount Sinai and he's writing out the list of 10 things they shouldn't do, that the Israelites are at the base of Mount Sinai doing what? Got other gods before me, taking the name of God in vain, got graven images. They're down there doing everything God told them not to do. So what happens to the law when Moses comes down from it? You know why? They already broke it. See, that was the token of God's covenant. And God was showing when Moses comes down from the mountain with the token of God's contract. And they fall to the ground and they break in pieces. You know what God, the signal what God was sending to Israel? The covenant's over. Well, that didn't last long. What's the shortest you've ever known somebody being married? I don't remember that one. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that one. Okay, I do remember that one. I had one down in Richwoods that lasted less than a month. Okay, I married them. Okay? And they didn't. That's why I tell people I like doing funerals more than weddings. Yeah. People stay dead. Okay? Okay? Anyway, that's the joke, by the way. Okay. That contract that God wrote up on Mount Sinai never even made it to the bottom of the mountain, and it was already being broken. You think about that for a while. Next time you think about how good you are. Or those of you listening, next time you hear about somebody try to tell you that you have to be good and keep the law. Already stinks to be you. Amen. So the just was never into, those who are justified before God, freely justified, without payment, without services rendered, without any kind of form or ritual done, those who are freely justified were never, ever, ever, and never will be justified by the law. Never will be. Never will be justified by the works of the law. They're to be justified, and they are to live by trust, faith, belief. Look at the consequences for not living by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Think about it. Is this Bible right or not?
Amen.
Do I need to sit and explain what this verse means? No, it means exactly what it says. God knew what he was saying. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And you and I all know. We know church people. We know pastors who started out here and they ended up here. Backwards. This is why you don't go to the church anymore, Gary. Amen? It's not because you didn't like his mustache that he grew. Okay? It wasn't because he quit wearing a tie. Because he quit believing the Bible. You know what he did? He drew back. He drew back. That's what it says. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. If you see me come out here, I mean, just really grieved and down, more than likely it's because all week long I've been fighting a battle out here. Because I know what's being said. The teachers that are out there that are trying to reach everybody like we are, and we're just one of hundreds, thousands. The teachers, the bloggers, the YouTubers, the prophecy ministry people, they're all trying to get their group in. And a lot of them are doing it by trying to lay charges against this Bible. And they're actively telling people, do not believe this Bible. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't be like that cult Mike Hoggard's got. They called us that. They called us that. A cult. Because of me. Huh? Brady said, I've been in cults before. This is nothing. Yeah, I like this one better, huh? Food's better, amen? Yeah, the Kool-Aid. If you see me come out here and I'm just grieved and down and everything like that, that's because I've been out on battlefield all week long. And I've been dealing with it. And I'm grieved over what I hear people saying about this book. It makes me mad. And it hurts my feelings. And then it hurts me to think that there are sheep out there who at one time started out saying, I want to believe what God said. And then a wolf came in and said, now God didn't say what's in here. Let me show you what God really says. That grieves me. I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I didn't care. And I care. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, this is what I hope Bethel Church is. You look at verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto what? You know what perdition is? Somebody tell me what perdition is according to the King James Bible. Hell. You think, listen, draw back. God knew what he was talking about. And Paul finished it. Draw back into perdition. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I hope that that is Bethel Church. Amen. And number one, I pray every day that it's me. Every day. At some point in the day, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to have a little breakdown and I'm going to say, God, you hold me fast and believe. Amen. God, you hold on to me. God, you don't let me go. Don't turn me over, God. Don't turn me loose. Amen. Don't look at the wickedness of my soul and send me out. Don't do that. I'm begging you, don't do that. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Amen. Every day I think you ought to just have you a little breakdown spell somewhere. Yeah. Walk back in the bedroom sometime during the day and shut the door. Go in the bathroom. Act like you just need to be alone for a while and just have you a little breakdown in there and say, God, hold me. You keep me in. Hell's too hot. I don't want to go there. Okay? We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Not those who work, not those that perform, not those that do, those that believe to the saving of the soul. Do you believe this Bible?
Amen.
Amen. So the segue to that, now we've brought us into Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I'm not like Oral Roberts. I've never seen the 300-foot-tall Jesus. Okay? The fellow that has been bringing his family here to church, David Bradley, he's telling me there's a clown out here in Kenya. Doctor, I can't remember his name. But he's a cult leader out here in Kenya. And he's telling everybody that he has visitations from God all the time. He makes several trips to heaven a year. Okay? And he's just constantly going back. Okay? I have never been to heaven. Okay? Huh? Do what? 787. Yeah, TWA.
Probably made that same trip.
Yeah. Yeah. LSD. But that's what he's telling. He's got a big cult out there. He's got a big following out there, and he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and I'm going to go to Kenya and go, look at that! He's a liar! Okay? And, but anyway, I've never been to heaven. I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen God. Never seen the pearly gates. Never seen the gates of hell. Haven't seen angels flying around me. Okay? I don't have to. I believe it. Okay? I don't have to see that. All I need to see right now is this right here. Okay? I'm fine. I'm good. Okay? Let's stand to our feet, and I'll tell you a little story so you don't think I'm going to keep you any longer than this. I've told this story several times. Back in 1997, God called me in to study prophecy. So I just walked in that direction and let God lead. But for a while there, I was hearing all these guys on the radio talking about, well, I had God gave me a vision. Oh, I got a vision. I know what's going to happen in America and all this and that and there. And at one time, early on, I wanted that. Because I was going to the Club of Prophecy. Okay? And all the dreamers were up there. Oh, God's visiting me. He's telling me all this stuff's going on. Oh, you won't find it in the Bible. God's this new. And I was just dumb enough to almost swallow it. But I went and listened to this guy one time. And God, your faith is your anchor. That keeps you from floating away. And after I listened to this guy for about 2.5 hours, I got in a car, and on the way home, in my heart, I'm saying, God, he said you told him this. I don't know if you did or not. But I know one thing, let God be true and every man a liar. So God, if what he said is true, you show it to me in the Bible. In the Bible. That really was the start of this ministry.
Amen.
Show it to me in the Bible. Okay? And God anchored my soul to the scriptures right then and there. Okay? And God will do that for you too. All you got to do is ask him. God, anchor my soul. Anchor my soul. Anchor my soul. And so, but I was asking, oh God, give me visions. Give me dreams. And every time he'd point me back down to the Bible and say, here they are right here. I saw in the vision. I saw in the dream. I dreamed a dream. And so here's dreams and visions right here. Read them. Okay? So I don't need anything else out of here. I don't need visitations. I don't need visions. I don't need all that stuff. My faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And if I've seen them, I don't need the Bible anymore. Don't need faith. Amen? That's where we're going next week. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for meeting with us tonight. I thank you, God, for this Bible. And what it says, we don't correct it, God, it corrects us. Lord, I pray tonight, God, serious as I can, because God, I know where I used to be. I used to be, Lord, where the people are right now that are calling me names. Because I called these guys names, and I hated them. I absolutely despise the people, God, that held to the King James Bible. So I used to be there. I know how they think. I know what they say. And I know the spirit they've got because I had it. And so, God, I'm praying for these people tonight. Because, God, you saved me out of it. You did it for me. God, you know me. I didn't have it coming. I didn't deserve it. But that's what you did. And God, if you can do it for me, you can do it for them. So I'm not going to give up on anybody, God. You save these people and you show them the truth like you showed me. Because, Lord, if I say it to them, it won't sink in. If you say it to them, God, you'll say, let there be light, and there'll be light. So, Lord, we pray tonight for one another, that the light would shine on our evil, wicked hearts. Lord, we call upon you and anchor our soul, God, to this book. Don't let us stray. Don't let us float off. Anchor it, God. Use us for your kingdom and your glory. Lead others, Lord, to this same knowledge and truth. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Go home.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.